Brian, did we want to try that with the phone thing this morning? Bring it on up here if you want to, son. We're going to try something. I'm trying to get into this new technology stuff. So what do I have? I got to do stuff?
All you got to do is hit this unless you want me to hit that now.
Go ahead and hit that now. All right. Good job. Amen. Well, appreciate you being here this morning. I want you to find your place in 1 Samuel chapter 18 this morning. And it is a good, sweet move of God in the place this morning. I want to be in the perfect will of God. That's been my purpose in my life. I can honestly say I've been saved since I was 16 years old. That's a lot of years. But I've been pastoring 15 years of those, all them many years. But I just must admit and confess, they say confession is hard on reputation, good for the soul. I really got serious about trying to be in the will of God about 5 years ago. I mean, I really did. I know it's God's will for me to come out here and take your church and pastor. I knew it was. Everything I've done, I've felt like it was in God's will, but I think sometimes God had to mold His will somewhat around my will because I was kind of going my own way. But I decided about 5 years ago, and God broke my heart before New Year's about that time, that I wanted to be in the will of God more than anything else. And I wanted to seek the will of God no matter what the cost, and whatever the cost was. And I learned there's a great cost to be paid sometimes to be in the center of God's will. But my, the benefits are outstanding. So I say that all that to say this message this morning, you'd say, well, why in the world, as good as God is moving this morning and as sweet as spirit is in the house of God this morning, why would you preach a message you're going to preach? Why not preach the glory message today, preacher? Because God said this is the message you want me to preach. That's why. Amen. So you just buckle up. If you don't like it, you can pick the bones out and throw it all on the side of the plate. Do like my grandson does, cover it up with a napkin, whatever you want to. But I hope it'll help somebody this morning. I believe someone here this morning needs this message. I do, because God would not have been putting it so hard, because I've tried to get away from it, but He won't let me do it. You found your place? Say amen.
Amen.
Look with me in verse number 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. That's interesting. I'm not going to preach on that this morning. I do believe God knits the hearts of some folks together and some He don't.
That's right.
And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whitherso Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul sent him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one to another as they played and sang, and said, Saul had slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Look with me in verse number 9. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Saul eyed David from that day forward. Lord, help me this morning. I want to preach a message that God has given me the title for, simply this, the skanky eye. My mama used to have a way of looking at you when you knew you was in trouble. And I hear music from a far country. And she would look at you with that look, and we'd say, Mama giving you the skanky eye. That meant you was in trouble. That meant she had set her sight upon you, and it was not going to go away. I want to preach this morning, if God will help me, on the times in our life when we put the skanky eye on somebody else. Let's pray. Lord, help us today, I pray. Speak to hearts now like only You can. But Lord, not only speak, but would You give us the courage that we need. Do not inoculate us today or let the devil inoculate us with a false sense of security. But Lord, might You take the scaffold of the Word of God and cut deeply. Do what needs to be done in every heart and every life and have us to act accordingly. And what You do, we'll thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In my regular Bible reading, I just completed 1 Samuel, and it struck me the depths of anger that some people drift into and the high cost of that anger and the results of that anger. Now, there's a lot of verses we'll probably look at today, but in verse number 9 of our text, Saul is not necessarily upset with David, but rather those that are singing the praises to him. Now listen to me, that don't make much sense when you think about it. You say, wait a minute, why is he so mad at David? But David didn't do nothing. David only did what Saul asked him to do. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah, man. Now, he put the eye on him. I told you how Mama put the eye on him. He put the eye on him. Well, first of all, led Saul to hate David. Well, it comes down to two real things, I believe, pride and jealousy. Pride. His pride was hurt. When they started saying, oh boy, there comes King Saul, he's killed his thousands. But boy, look at David. He's killed 10,000s. Boy, look at David. He's killed his 10,000s. That's what echoed in Saul's ear. He said, wait a minute. Where did they get that? Somebody better check their math. Right? And then on top of all that, he said, they're gone after him. Now what's left now? There's nothing left. He's going to take the whole kingdom. Now he's jealous. His pride got hurt. Now he's jealous. He feels threatened. By the way, when you feel threatened, you'll do two things. You'll either fight or flee. It's a human nature. You say, well, I don't believe in all that. Well, you can believe what you want to. I've pinned enough people up in the corner. They'll do two things. They'll either fight you right there or they'll flee from you just like a dog, a rat, or a cat. You back them up in the corner. They're either going to run, get away from you, or they're going to take a stand and fight. And Saul said, I'm going to fight for what's mine. And David said, basically, I respect God's anointed so much, I don't see no other option but to flee. Now, David was young. He had his youth. Right? But Saul was a king. Saul had been chosen by God. He was the first king of Judah. He was valiant in battle. And by all accounts, from what we learn in the Word of God, he was a good king. So what would make a man of great authority and ability get so sidetracked until he allowed his anger to control him? Well, if we go back a few chapters, and you don't necessarily have to turn there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we see the downfall of Saul. By the way, if you ever get sidetracked and get off track and you say, I don't know where I got off track with God, trace it back, you'll find out where you got off track with God. Now you say, well, I have people tell me all the time, I don't know where I messed up. Well, let's sit down and go back a little bit. We'll figure it out. No, I don't want to do that. They know where they messed up at. You know what? When I feel my fellowship broken with God, I know exactly what it was. I don't have to sit down for days and fast and pray for God to reveal it to me. I know exactly what it was. If you got a wife or you got a husband and y'all have words and y'all get sideways about something and y'all fall out and all of a sudden that sweet kindred spirit's not there anymore, you know exactly what it was. You don't have to say, well, what did I do? You know what you did. Don't play dumb. You know what it was. You say, well, you know what it was. Hey, man. It don't do no good to cry about it. Just go ahead and make it right. You know what it was. I said, you know what it was. I ain't talking to my wife either. I just always look at her when I'm preaching. She needs it. Amen. No, I look at her because I look at her because I had some bad experiences looking at people. I used to have a church treasurer sit back there and balance a checkbook while I was preaching. Hey, you know, when we do things, we know what it is, don't we? Brother James, Sister Ann, not here. But when y'all have words, you know, that's like the preacher said that one time. Said, we never have crosswords. They always meet each other right in the middle. You know, hey, but you know what it is, don't you? I mean, you got a pretty good idea what it was. You know, the problem is men, most men's a little retarded. We just don't think it's no big deal, but it really is. This is my Father's Day message. I'm giving y'all a little preview. Amen. Hey, look. I want to tell you today. Hey, here's Saul. Saul's a king. Saul has everything. All Saul's got to do is mind God and do what God said do. By the way, that's all you got to do today is do what God said do. You want to stay in perfect harmony with God? You want to live a rich Christian life? You want to get through your trials? Let God take your trials and turn them into blessings and not turn them into disasters? Hey, amen. I've had that song on my mind. Boy, he's 4 days late, but he's still on time. I woke up that morning, that song on my heart this morning. Hey, amen. He's still on time. Amen. I thought about the tragedy of our situations, but the triumph that God gives us. Amen. You want that triumph in your life? All you got to do is try to do what God said do. But look what happened to Saul. Chapter 15, verse number 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, now Samuel's a man of God. Saul said unto Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things that should have been utterly destroyed. Look, whoa, what did we just say? That should have been, right? That should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, or if you have never marked this verse, you ought to mark it. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than to the fat of rams. In other words, it's better to listen to God than to just throw your money in the plate. It's better to listen to God than say, well, I come to church all the time. The churches that I preach in is full of people. A big majority of the people come to church faithfully, but they ain't heard half of what's been said in the last 10 years. Now look, that's what Samuel, the man of God, said. He said, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And look at verse 20, well, if you turn there, 15:23, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry. And the last sentence in that verse says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Uh-oh, drive a stop down. That's where it all started, right there. That's how you got there over there to chapter 18. That's how you got over there when Saul put the bad eye on David. That's how you got over there when his feelings got hurt and the jealousy swelled up in him and his pride got stepped on. That's where it all stopped, because God's man done told him back yonder 3 chapters ago, hey, because you would not obey the word of God, God's going to take the kingdom away from you. So he knows his replacement's right down the road. He knows they're interviewing his replacement in the office next door right now. He knows the next time he gets called into the manager's office, this is it. Amen? As Saul, seeing a disobedience, led him to become disqualified from the throne. He'd gone from being an effective king to being a mere figurehead or a lame duck. And it got worse. Look in chapter 16 with me. I want you to turn over here and see this. Chapter 16. Find my place over here. Chapter 16, verse number 14. Look in your word of God with me here. It gets worse. We see over there the man of God said God's going to take the kingdom away from you. Chapter 16, verse number 14. The word of God says, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now this evil spirit is not a demonic spirit. It's an evil spirit. It's most likely a spirit of depression. When you study up the life of Saul, you will see he was a very depressed person. He's very despondent at times. It's likely a spirit of depression that served to further cast Saul into the deep dark side where he desired to kill David. The very one whom God uses to calm him and refresh him is the one whom he grows to hate. Remember when he would get in one of these, honey, when he would get in one of these moods of manic depression, he would send everyone out and said, bring David and let him play unto me. And the music soothed him, and it kind of got him out of the doldrums, and it broke that spirit of depression. It was so great upon him that he just felt like he couldn't go on. But the very one that helped him through his hardest time, woo, somebody help me this morning. Hey, the one that very one that brought him out of his deepest, darkest times of depression is the very one he turned against. You know who you'll strike out at when you get in trouble? The one you love the most. The one that has done the most for you. You don't believe that? Just get sick and have to have that one that you love the most take care of you. You'll find out real quick. My wife says I'm not a good patient. When I broke my leg, whatever they give me, I was burning, I was burning. It was like I was on fire, Brother James. I was burning up. And I couldn't get comfortable. I couldn't stand for no pressure of not even a sheet to be on my body. I was so hot, and we had the air conditioning turned down low. We had all the shades pulled down to keep the sun out of the house. She had fans turned on me. And I was still grumping and griping and snapping at her. The very one that loved me so much, she's trying to take care of me. And then I had to tell her, honey, I ain't mad at you. I just uncomfortable. You know, it don't make no difference. After you done said what's said, it's done been said. Say amen right there. Amen. Ain't no vacuum cleaner on your word. Won't you wish you could suck some of them back in sometimes? Amen. Hey, but the very one that God used as an instrument to help Saul is the very one he turned against. You know, I've seen that happen in the pastorate. You go out of your way to help somebody. You go out of your way to pull somebody out of a depth of depression or out of a depth of big troubles. They're in big trouble. I ain't talking about little trouble. I'm talking about big trouble, man. They're big trouble. And the pastor goes out. He runs around. He makes visits. He makes phone calls. He does all these things. And you know when the first time hang a little stump, snag or toe a little bit, you know who they strike out at? That preacher right there. That old preacher right there is always telling me what I'm doing wrong. Amen. Over the remainder of the book of 1 Samuel, we would record 11 times that Saul attempted to kill David. 11 times Saul attempted to kill David. He pursued David 8 years. 4 years. 4 years Saul chased David over every hill and behind every tree and under every rock. And for another 4 years, David hid out in a place called Ziklag. And over the course of that time, David had an opportunity to kill Saul 2 times, but he refused both times. I mean, he could have had him, man. He had him. David's men said, this is our chance. Let's get rid of him right now. David said, you know what David said? I'll not touch God's anointed. David had so much respect for the king that God had anointed to be king. He said, even though I have this opportunity, even though he hates me, even though he wants to kill me, I won't do it. I won't do it. At one occasion, Saul slipped off into a cave. Just happened to be one of the caves that David and his crowd was hiding out in. And David slipped up behind him and cut the corner of his robe off. And then David got under such strong conviction from God about it. As soon as Saul went outside, he fell down before him and begged forgiveness. Right. Would to God some of us could be like that. We get so if I ever get a chance, I'll take care of them, you know. Yep. Praise God. You see the difference there though? 11 times compared to 2 times. We would summarize the book of 1 Samuel like this: in the final years of his reign as king, Saul could have went out doing and accomplishing great things, but instead of building up Israel, he wasted 8 years of his life, his time, his resources, and his finances chasing David through every hill and all over the countryside trying to kill him. Now the logical person would say that's just crazy, spending 8 years trying to kill somebody that hadn't done anything to begin with. True. But how much time and energy and resources do we waste because we hate somebody? You know, if you waste 1 hour of one day in hatred, you've used up a commodity that you cannot get back. You say, but I've got every right to be angry. I've got every right to hate them. Yes, well, maybe, whatever. You can't do anything about it. Is that not right? We're bad for not letting go of things, aren't we? I mean, we're bad. You know what? I thought about that thing about Saul. And Saul should, when they come back from battle, Diane, and everybody was bragging about what a good job David had done, Saul could have said, I put him in that position. Shows how smart I am. Shows my wisdom, my military wisdom. That's what that shows. You did a good job, David. You're the man. My right-hand man, that's what you are. And he said, wait a minute. They used to sing songs about me. Amen. That's what my... I guess I will say this. Brother Larry Couch used to always tell me when I was a young pastor, he said, if you have to be out of town, he said, try to get somebody to preach that ain't as good as you are. He said, that way they won't want them instead of you. And then he added to that, and he said, in your case, that won't be hard to find because everybody is probably a little better than you are. But but I tell you what I learned a long time ago. I'd come sometimes, we'd have preachers in, preach revivals, and boy, do a great job, preach the house down. You know, people like Billy Seats come, they'd play, and they'd sing, and they'd preach, and they'd just do everything, and it makes me sick to my stomach. Tommy Cook, a little pygmy, and crawl up on the piano stool over there and beat the guts out of the piano and preach the house down and everything else. So short, he can't hardly look over the pulpit, and everybody loves him while he's here, but they're not around him all the time. And then people say, boy, I like that guy. We need to get that guy more. And I go home mumbling to my, yeah, why don't you make him your pastor then? You like him so good. Yeah, it's so good. Hey. Huh?
That was a Catherine face.
That was a Catherine. And she did make that face sometimes, didn't she? My mama has some faces. I ain't joking. Hey, but the thing about it is this. What I should have been saying, Brother James, was I sure am glad that God impressed upon my heart to get them to come because it helped the people. Yeah. Brother Jimmy Cox came that time and he called me. I talked to him. He said, well, I hope half people. I said, yeah, about half of them want you to come back, and about the other half want you to come be their pastor. I said, so you decide which half you want to go with. Amen. But look here, let me tell you something today about anger. Let me get into this thought. What does anger do? What does anger do, really? Think about Saul and David's situation. What does anger do? Well, number one, it consumes you. He consumed you. Saul's anger toward David consumed him. He didn't care about what got done around the kingdom. He spent every hour of every day trying to figure out how he's going to kill David. He dreamed about it. He woke up with it in the morning. He went to bed with it at night. He ate it. He slept it. That's all he thought about. Now, how about you? What's consuming you? The person that hurt you, that did you wrong, is that what's got all of your time and your resources consumed? You see, some people, they fell in the rut, they fell in the ditch, they can't get out, but they got no interest in getting out. You know what about the only kind of ditch I ever seen that you wasn't able to get out of? A grave. If you are in a river or a creek or a ditch, if you walk long enough, you'll find a low place you can get out. But when you're in a grave, 4 foot wide, 8 foot long, 6 foot deep, there's only one way to get out, Diane.
You need help.
Somebody's got to help you. I'm helping you today. I'm trying to help you today. You say, I'm in this ditch of anger, preacher. How am I going to get out? Well, God's going to give you a ladder here just in a minute. But you'll have to decide whether you're going to climb out or you're just going to stay in there. Now, Saul said, I don't care about nothing else. I tell you what, I'm going to take care of this David fellow. If I don't accomplish nothing else in my lifetime, that's what it's going to be. And I've seen people like that. It amazes me how some folk will stay angry with somebody who's been dead for years. Now, why you get mad at somebody that's already dead, I don't know. Why stay mad with somebody that's already dead, I don't know. You say, well, you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter. What can you do about it? They're already dead. I mean, you can go spray Roundup on the grave if you want to, but it ain't going to change them none. Amen? People who are consumed with anger, listen to me real carefully now, people that are consumed with anger have built an idol called anger that they pay tribute to and bow down to every day. That's all they live for. You say, if you're going to live for God, I'm going to live for God. Well, that cuts everything else out. You can't live for nothing else if you're going to live for God. You better get that anger out. You better get rid of it. You better get that bitter spirit out. You better get rid of it. Amen. You better go home and you better say, God, I want you to reveal to me every sin in my life, and I want to repent of it right now, and I want to get it under the blood because I want you to be number one in my life. You say, I don't want to do that. Guess what? You're going to stay right in that grave then. It'll consume you. Anger will consume you. Number two, it'll confuse you. Saul was already on the dark side of serving God. Saul was already plowing on the shady side of the field. God, the man of God said, look, your time's up, Saul. It's just a matter of time till God replaces you with another anointed king. He's plowing on the shady side of the field. There'll never be the glory days of Saul's kingship again. He's done. He's finished. All intents and purposes, we could say God wrote Ichabod over the kingship of Saul, right? Now look, he rebelled against God. When you rebel against God, you're just on dangerous ground to begin with. Amen. He rebelled against God. The words come from Samuel, you're going to be taken off the throne. A spirit of depression's come upon him. He falls out with David because something he thought he heard. It'll confuse you. Anger will confuse you. He thought he heard something. He misheard it. My wife says, I mumble. I don't think I mumble. I hear myself just fine. I know exactly what I'm trying to say. When her mother was alive, I went down to the Harbor Freight and bought her one of these little mirror clear things where you use maybe when you're hunting, you know, just to help you hear the TV better. Because she kept misplacing her hearing aids and throwing them in the trash and things like that. And she didn't know no better, bless her heart. But them hearing aids are expensive after a little while. I mean, the dog get them and eat them and stuff. And that's what Brother Larry's mama, the dog would get at Rusty, get her hearing aids and eat them and get her teeth and eat them. Boy, that dog was a mess. He still is a mess, by the way. Eat a house, eat holes in the house. Anyway, I told her, I said, honey, you still got that mirror clear? I got you, mama. She said, honey, it would only make me hear you mumbling more clearer. I wouldn't understand you still. In other words, she says, most of the time I don't really understand what you're trying to say. So I know when I say things and she agrees readily, I better make sure I got a positive response before I go ahead with it. Amen. Now look at here. He heard something wrong. He thought they were saying, David, he's a man. If he can't do it, nobody can. Saul, he's no man. Used to be the man, but now he's just old man. That's what he thought he heard him say. Or something like that. I believe that's in that King James. Amen. I believe that's what he thought he heard. He thought he heard, Brother James, I'm all washed up. I've been replaced already. All he needs now is the king. All he wants, he's going to get the throne. That's what he wants. He's going to bump me out of the way and he's going to get the throne. There ain't nothing going to stop him. By the way, that's what that crowd said about Jesus' outfit. Said they'd take over the world. At this rate, they're going to take over the world. Amen? But that ain't what they said, is it? What have you heard that wasn't really what was said? It happens to me all the time. People say things like, I can't believe you said that. My daughter and I was joking around with her yesterday. She was talking about a thing, and I said, I know how I'll handle it, and I just spouted off something that I had done in the past in the infancy of my ministry. And she said, Daddy, maybe it'd work better if you did it this way. I said, but I'd feel better if I did it my way. She said, but it'd probably work better if you did it my way. Do what? More diplomatic, yeah, more diplomatic. But people say, I can't believe what you said. And they'll tell me something. I said, I didn't say that. Listen to the CD. You did say that. I listened to the CD. I didn't really say that. They say, you really hurt me by something you said. It wasn't me that hurt them by what I said. It was what the Holy Spirit done with what I said that hurt them so bad. Because it cut them so deep. As Brother Larry used to say, or has said, or still does say, I'll cut you so fast you won't even know you cut till you see the blood. Hey, I'll tell you, this word of God right here will cut you so fast you won't even know you've been cut till you get home and said, how'd I get all this blood on me? Because God got a hold of you. That's how you got all that blood on you. You say, I know what I heard. Well, stay there in the grave. It's all right. Just stay there. It's okay. Third thing, it will confound you. Saul's anger was unfounded. He messed up, not David. So he's confounded. He's confused now. David did not come looking for a throne. David said, I want to do what God wants me to do.
Right.
Now, David done some goofy stuff later on in life. Such were some of you. Don't be too quiet on me there. But I tell you what, David did not come looking for a throne. He said, I'm going to do what the king tells me to do.
Right.
If he had sent him off to Siberia somewhere and said, this is your new place, it's where you go there. David said, but king, there's no Philistines there. I know, you go there. He said, okay, yes sir, I'm going. He'd have been done with him. All he had to do was exile him. That's all he had to do. But no, he'd rather chase him all over the country. Amen? Hey, David, let me just ask you this. Does it make any sense at all to be angry? Really? Does it make any sense to stay that way? Well, you just don't. Okay. You're right, I don't understand. Stay in the grave. Fourth thing, it'll lead you to compromise. Anger will lead you to compromise. I say again, anger will lead you to compromise. I've seen folk come through here and they get mad at me without a cause. To God be the glory, I'm not bragging, to God be the glory, and I know this is going on CD and it's going on the internet, to God be the glory today. There's been a lot of accusations made against your pastor over the years, but they never laid a glove on me. To God be the glory now, I'm not boasting, to God be magnified, but they do things like that out of anger. And when one person rises up in anger, Brother Mike, what happens is confusion sets in, compromise sets in, and he will draw others around him who will say, well, surely this man must be right because he is someone we look up to. And before long, the compromise sets in. I've been to people's houses before. I said, missed you in church. Why are you not in church? We missed you in church. And somebody said, no, we've seen so many people leave, we just thought we were supposed to leave too. That brought me back to what my mama said one time. If your best friend jumps off the Eno River Bridge, you gonna jump off with him? Compromise. Compromise. People have come to me over the years and said, God's leading us to leave the church. Okay, where's he leading you to? I'm not sure yet, but he's leading us to leave. I said, he ain't leading you to leave, he shows you where he's going to take you.
Right.
This ain't no Abraham deal where he's going to show you later on. If he wants you to take your family out of a good church that preaches the Bible and loves you, he's already showed you where he wants to go, and it'll be a church of the same or a greater quality. And I'm not... Yeah, I will brag on Welcome Baptist Church. You're not going to find one that's going to be no straighter on the Bible around here. And we got some good churches around here. I will say there's some equal, but you won't find one better. And you won't find better people nowhere. Y'all had all said amen right there. You say, well, we don't want to seem to be proud or boastful. Yeah, but you sitting out there just a smiling. Your head done got about this big. Oh, preacher bragging. I look like a bunch of Hello Kitty sitting out there. Amen. Hey, man. He'll cause you to compromise. Amen. Hey, look here. Hey, Saul consorted with a witch. After he had decreed that all the witches were supposed to be killed, honey. That's compromise, friend. His anger was so strong, he said, I gotta tap into something that I ain't never dabbled in before. But I tell you what, I heard somebody say one time that it'll work, so I'm gonna try it. Amen. David ended out living with the Philistines after he'd killed Goliath. If that ain't a compromise, it ain't ever been one. What kind of compromise has your anger led you to? You out of fellowship with God? Compromise will lead you down a long road, friend. It's hard to find a place to turn around. I started out, me and my wife did it, Brother Ricky Chapels, the other day, and I went a different way from what the GPS desired that I go. And I had muted her down because I didn't want to listen to her no more, but she was telling me, when it is safe, make a safe U-turn. When it is safe, make a safe U-turn. I mean, she did that until I'd done went about 20 miles, and then she thought to herself, he ain't going to make a safe U-turn. We're going to have to figure out which way he's trying to go and just go with him. Amen. But I see so many people, they compromise, and they get on that road, and they say, well, surely there'll be a good place to turn around after a while. Surely there'll be a good place to turn around. Hey, let me tell you, from being a law enforcement officer 17 years, I'd rather you cut the median and turn around than to go 20 miles down in this wrong road. This wrong road. This wrong. Hey, you'd be better off to back down the entrance ramp and go the other way after you know you've done wrong. Hey, he started down a bad road of compromise. He got out of fellowship with God. Hey, I see so many people get out of fellowship with God because they compromise. Hey, you might be out of church. You compromise. These people amaze me. They say that God's called them to go to another church. This ain't the church for them. And then here it is, 2 or 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 years later, and they still ain't in church nowhere.
Right.
Somebody missed it, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
Anger led to compromise. Anger will get you out of church. Anger will ruin your family. Anger will destroy your family. It'll sink your battleship, friend. You say, well, I got a right to be angry. You have no idea. That's exactly right. You probably do have a right to be angry. But why don't you just listen to God? And God says, forgive them and go on. You say, but you just don't realize what an ignoramus I'm married to. That may be so. Forgive them and go on. Did you say you wish your wife was... He said, Sister Ann, he wished you were sitting here. Now, I will sell you the rights to that CD for $75 and we'll destroy it. Is it not true, though? Is it not true? Friend, help me. Is it not true today that anger will lead you to compromise? The fifth thing is, and I'm done, the fifth thing anger will do, it will kill you. Anger would kill you. Saul ended up getting killed in battle. But what might have been? If he kept his purpose right and continued to try to serve and be a good king instead of putting all he had into his anger. I wonder what might have been. I thought about that, honey, when God gave me this, and I was just kind of thinking on something. I wonder what might have been. If Saul, when Samuel said, God has stripped the kingdom from you, if he had said, man of God, you're right, and I've done wrong in the sight of God, whatever God wills to do with me will be fine.
Right.
I will serve him the remainder of my days. And he'd have just tried to be a good king and done what was supposed to have been done. And kept his eyes on the horizon for his replacement. And when he saw David, he said, boy, there's somebody, the people love him. Boy, now there's somebody that will stand up and fight for these people. Maybe, God, that's the man. Saul would have been off somewhere retired. Even though he'd messed up, he'd been off somewhere retired instead of in battle getting killed. That ain't deep preaching. There ain't much deep preaching goes on around here, but ain't that right? It's a shame to miss out on what could have been for God, just so you can stay angry with somebody over something that maybe really never happened. See, in Saul's case, it never really happened. Think about it with me now. It was all in his imagination. Do you really think that you have enough life left to waste? I don't. I'm 53 years old. When Daddy died, Mom and Daddy had been married 64 years, I believe it was. And when Mama died, she was naturally depressed. She'd been living with my daddy every day. Day was like me and my wife, inseparable. If you've seen one, you've seen the other one. 64 years. And I remember 2 years later, almost to the day, she went home to glory to be with him. But in those 2 years, you'd ask her, say, Mama, we going down to Sam's Club. You need anything? She said, no, I don't buy in quantity anymore. What she said was, I don't feel like I got enough time. She said, I don't even buy green bananas no more, son. She said, I just figure any day now is going to be my time. You know what I decided? I don't have any time left to be mad. I'm sorry. There's times when folks do things to me. And if we looked in, you was talking about Webster this morning, if we looked at the worldly way, you say, boy, I got every right to be mad at them. I ought to go knock their mailbox down. I ought to go kick their door in. I ought to go kill their cat. The cat ought to be killed anyway, amen. Hey, and all these things, and I ought to do this, and I ought to do that, and I got every right to do this. You know what? I ain't got time for that. I really don't. I love you, and I will help you. But if you want me to help you be mad at somebody or help you stay mad at somebody, you're going to have to find somebody else because I don't have time for that. Amen. Sad to say, listen to me now real closely, I'm closing. Sad to say, we're all either a Saul or a David. We're either angry at somebody and we're living with hatred every day, or we're like David. We're hated, hounded, and hurt. Are you ready for a change? Are you in today? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. God said, shut it down right here. Are you today? Imagine for just a minute. Back in old time days, and they still do it this way in some parts of the country, where they dig a grave by hand, 4 foot wide, 8 foot long, 6 foot deep. There's a man in South Carolina down in the sandy land that digs them by every grave by hand. You're digging that grave by hand and you got your ladder there, so as you begin to dig, you can have a friend that lowers the ladder down. But somehow or another, here you are. It's got to be late at night. And you're there and your friend is gone and there's no one there. And all of your screams and all of your cries are not heard. And you're in this dark pit that we'll just call that pit anger. You say, could you be honest today? Now, I'm not trying to put nobody on the spot and ain't nobody looking around but me. It might be a little anger. It might be a big anger. You might say, preacher, there's just something that has happened in my life that I've never fully been able to get over. Slip up your hand. Anybody at all, I see those hands. I see those hands all across this auditorium. You would not believe what God's doing here this morning. You would not believe what God's doing. You know what God said this morning? He said, I'm putting a ladder down. Come out of that grave right now. Come out of that grave right now. You're here this morning and you're struggling and you got every right to be angry and you're fighting this morning. Say, I want to follow you, God. I don't want to follow man's way of doing this. I want to follow God's way. I want to follow God's way today. God said, well, just stop digging that grave and just come right on with me right now. We're going to stand quietly to our feet. If you raised your hand, if you're in that grave this morning, would you come down this morning and get on the ladder that God's let down for you and come out of that grave and say, God, help me today. God, help me today. Anybody, you come. This is your opportunity. We're not